Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Well, good morning. It's a delight to be with you all here this Lord's Day and to be able to celebrate the baptism of Ezekiel this morning. And this morning, we turn our attention to the third petition of the Lord's Prayer: Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This third petition follows and builds on the previous two. They are inseparably connected, and they make sense as a whole. The first three petitions in the Lord's Prayer focus on God, while the remaining petitions turn to our own needs and our own concerns. Now, this is a helpful reminder for us all in the order of priority in our prayer, because so often our prayers tend to be filled with only the latter, namely things that are concerning ourselves. These three petitions are logically connected in this way. Where the Lord's name is hallowed, there his kingdom comes, and where his kingdom comes, there his will is done. And this trio are marks of the church in some way, as the Lord works in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Lord calls us to himself, we receive his name in baptism. We become members of his kingdom family, and we begin to grow in holiness as the Spirit works in us. In these first three petitions, Kevin DeYoung says that we pray that we would glorify his name, submit to his reign, and follow his rule. Now, it's probably not an overstatement for me to say that we all want to know God's will for our lives. This sentiment tends to be felt more acutely in big moments or pivotal decisions in our lives. So maybe for the first time, when you decide where to go to college, that seems like the first major decision that you make on your own. We want to know God's will there. We want to know God's will when we're considering who we should date or who we should marry. We might wish that God would make his will very clear to us when we're considering taking a job or moving to a different city or state or country. And no matter how big or small the decision, we have moments where we wish that God would just tell us exactly what to do. Why can't you just tell me exactly what I should do in this situation, whatever it might be? Well, if this is our expectation of God, that he will tell us every move we ought to make at every particular moment of our lives, then we will be paralyzed. We will never be able to move for fear of doing something that is outside of God's will. Well, this morning, it is my prayer that we will dispel those fears and come to a better understanding of what it is to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and what this means for our day-to-day lives. Let's pray together. Holy Father, you are sovereign over all that you have made. You know the beginning from the end and have foreordained all that comes to pass. We pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts this morning. Give us hearts that love your law and desire to obey it. Help us to understand what your will is for our lives and produce in us a humble obedience and submission to it. Lead us in the truth for Christ's sake. Amen. Our primary sermon text this morning is going to be Deuteronomy 29, 29. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there now. We'll look at that in just a moment. But first, let me give an outline of that we will follow in our time together. It's very simple. We will work through the petition, this third petition, in two points. First, and this will be the majority of our time together, we will spend time focusing on thy will be done. What does it mean that this will is God's? And how do we understand what is meant by his will? What is it to do God's will? And what is it to petition the Lord to do his will? And then second, we will consider on earth as it is in heaven. What exactly are we praying for in that portion of the petition? So let's read our text now as we begin. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Question 103 of the Shorter Catechism asks, what do we pray for in the third petition? The answer, in the third petition, which is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things, as the angels do in heaven. This is a helpful summary for our consideration this morning, and it almost goes without saying, but in this petition, we are praying for thy will to be done. It is the Lord's will that we are speaking of here. To pray for the Lord's will to be done is an act of submission. It is an act of humbling ourselves and asking the Lord, or asking that the Lord would cause our wills to be formed and shaped and changed to accord with his will. We are asking that God would work in us to know, obey, and submit to his will. But that raises the question for us, what is his will? How are we to know what it is? We've already stated that we want to know it. So how do we know it? Well, I selected Deuteronomy 29:29 for us this morning because I believe that it highlights an important and helpful distinction regarding the will of God. If we are to know what we are praying for when we pray, thy will be done, we need to understand this distinction. Now, this distinction is clear in Scripture, and you've probably come across it at various times, and maybe it's raised questions in your mind, and maybe you've not known how to categorize it. But it's the distinction between what we'd call the decretive will of God, which refers to the fact that God has decreed all things that certainly come to pass before the foundation of the world, and his preceptive will, the preceptive will of God, which refers to all that God has commanded his creatures to do. There is a distinction here. So the decretive will of God is his will which is always carried out. It refers to his immutable, his unchangeable decrees. It always affects its purpose. It cannot be thwarted. It is eternal and unchangeable and is according to God's good pleasure alone. We see this will depicted for us in scriptures like Psalm 115:3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. In his sovereignty, he does what is according to his will. In Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. God is sovereign over even the lives of sparrows. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Our election, our salvation belongs to the decretive will of God. He has ordained it. It will come to pass. Romans 9:18 through 19, so then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? The decretive will of God cannot be resisted. It will come to pass. And this is the aspect of his will that is being referred to in the first portion of Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. The decretive will of God has also been called his hidden will or his secret will, because this will belongs to God alone. It is for him alone to know and to look into. He knows the beginning from the end and has foreordained everything that comes to pass. Shorter Catechism question 7 asks, what are the decrees of God? The answer, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. This tends to be exactly the part of God's will that gives us anxiety, primarily because it is secret. It is not for us to know. It is not for us to look into. We don't get to peek behind the curtain. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, and yet it kills us not to know. I think many times I've heard people talk about how when they get to heaven, these are the things that are excited to find out, the secret things, how God worked behind the scenes. And we might get to know those things. Romans 8:28 is a verse that many of us come back to in the midst of difficult circumstances. It is a wonderful promise from God and is given it, that God has given to us, and it highlights this aspect of God's will. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. We receive this promise, but we don't always get the explanation of how it is actually working out in these circumstances. The promise has been revealed to us, and so it belongs to us, yet the details of it belong to God. In his kindness, at times, he allows us to get a glimpse of how he might be working, but this is not always the case because the secret things belong to the Lord our God. On the other hand, the preceptive will of God has to do with his precepts or his commandments. And this is also called the revealed will of God because he has made it known. And so this connects with the second half of Deuteronomy 29:29. The things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. These are the things which God has revealed clearly to us in Scripture for us to obey. And the clearest example of that for us is the Ten Commandments. These commandments have been given to us that we might obey God, resulting in his glory and our good. God knows what is best for us, and so he gives us commands that will lead us to live fulfilled lives if we obey them. But this is where the preceptive will of God differs from the decretive will. The preceptive will of God can be violated, and it is violated every day. And this is one of the fundamental pieces of understanding the gospel. We are all lawbreakers. We violate the decretive will of God. What he has commanded, we fail to do. We have violated God's revealed will for our lives in many different ways. And we have examples of this this distinction in Scripture, this maybe what feels like a contrast between the decretive will of God and the preceptive will of God. And perhaps one of the most famous or most known examples is the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery because they were jealous of him and they hated him. These actions, they violate the revealed will of God. Yet in Genesis 50:20, Joseph says to his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." In the decretive will of God, all of the actions of the brothers of Joseph were worked together by the Lord for Joseph's good and for the good of his people. Joseph's brothers violated the revealed will, but they accomplished God's decree. And for our good today, we see the details of how that worked out, how the Lord worked out those things. Another example of this comes from Peter's sermon on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. in speaking to the Jews, he says, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. So here Peter affirms that the will of God's decree is accomplished in Jesus' crucifixion, while at the same time, the Jews are accountable for violating God's revealed will. You shall not murder. The preceptive will of God then lays out for us how we ought to live, while the decretive will of God is what God has determined to do and will do in history. Is that an amen? A number of years ago, my dad recommended to me the book Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. And if you've never read it, I would encourage you strongly to pick it up because it's a wonderful read that will help any person who's going through difficult times to be reaffirmed of the character and the nature of God and trusting him. And Jerry Bridges makes the claim in his book that oftentimes it's easier to obey God than it is to trust him. It's easier to obey God than it is to trust him. And when I first read that, I kind of balked at that, like, it's not true. It's way easier to trust God than it is to obey him. But this is what he says. He says, the moral will of God, or the revealed will, the preceptive will of God, given to us in the Bible, is rational and reasonable. The circumstances in which we must trust God often appear irrational and inexplicable. The law of God is readily recognized to be good for us, even when we don't want to obey it. The circumstances of our lives frequently appear to be dreadful and grim, or perhaps even calamitous and tragic. Obeying God is worked out within well-defined boundaries of God's revealed will, but trusting God is worked out in an arena that has no boundaries. We do not know the extent. We do not know the duration or the frequency of the painful, adverse circumstances in which we must frequently trust God. We are always coping with the unknown. So put this way, I think he's correct in his assertion. The point is, we all recognize for the most part that what God commands in his word is good. Even though we often do not want to obey, we know that it is good for us not to worship other gods. We know that it is good that we honor our parents. We know that it is good not to murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, or to covet. And even though we fall short of obeying these commands fully, we know that they are good, and so we can strive to obey them. However, when it comes to the secret things that God is working behind the scenes in our lives, it sure can be difficult to trust God. We are not given the luxury to look into his reasoning for working in the way that he does. We don't get to see the whole playbook. And most of the time, we don't even get to see how everything will wrap up in the end. We experience all the pain, the heartache, and difficulties of life, and we are called to trust God, that he is doing as he promised, working all things together for the good of those who love him. And this trust is rooted in who God has revealed himself to be. In Romans 11:33, Paul gives us this exclamation, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways." We need this to be true of God if we are to trust him in our sufferings. God is infinitely wise. He is infinitely good. He is infinitely loving and infinitely powerful. His ways are above ours and his judgments are much higher than ours. And so it is our aim and our desire to trust him. So brothers and sisters, if you want to know God's will for your lives, there is no secret formula. There's no magic words to say to discover it. And we do not need to strain and maneuver to get a glimpse of God's decretive secret will. It's not about maneuvering. When we do this, we are looking in the wrong place, for it belongs to the Lord and not to us. No, he has revealed his will for our lives in his word. If we truly desire to know what God's will is for our lives, then we will spend time reading and meditating on his word. For it is in his word that he has told us how we should live. And if we live according to what he has commanded, then we can be assured that we are walking in God's will for our lives. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are praying that God would help us to more perfectly obey his revealed will. We are praying that by the Spirit, he would work holiness in us and produce a greater conformity to his law. But not only that, we pray that he would develop in us a love for his law, a desire to obey him, a satisfaction that comes from obeying him. We pray that obedience to his commands would become our greatest joy and delight and would produce in us the greatest happiness that we could ever know. We pray that the good purposes of God, which are unassailable, would come to pass. We pray that God would produce in us an ironclad trust in him through the most difficult seasons and trials of our lives. And we pray that God would keep us from grumbling and complaining against him when things don't go according to what we think is best. In turn, we ask that he would help us to submit to his sovereign will. We pray that God would give us contentment with what he has revealed to us, and that we would not be discontent, longing to know what he has not given to us to know. All of these and more are things that we pray for in this petition, and yet, if we do not possess faith as a gift from God, and therefore have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, we will be unable to pray a prayer like this. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to pray like this. It is a prayer of trust and rest in the Lord. It is a prayer of submission and obedience. The second portion of this petition gives us the manner in which we pray for the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We do not pray that the Lord's will would be done reluctantly or half-heartedly or after much convincing. We pray that it would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Psalm 103, 19 through 21 highlights what this looks like. We read there, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will." In heaven, the angels perfectly obey the Lord. There is no hesitation to their obedience. There is not a thought of disobedience. And there is no failure to obey what the Lord commands. Oh, how sweet that would be. Every command is fulfilled with cheerful obedience. And this is the aim of our praying this petition. Not only do we ask for the Lord to do his will in the world and in our lives, but we ask him to do it perfectly. We ask him to change us in such a way that we would never disobey him. In essence, we are asking for the Lord Jesus to come again. For when he does, he will consummate his kingdom. The name of the Lord will be hallowed in perfection, and wickedness will be brought to an end, as all in his kingdom will perfectly obey his rule. Come, Lord Jesus. To pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is a profound petition. In praying this prayer, we are laying down claims to our own autonomy and authority over our lives. We are submitting ourselves to the one who is worthy. We are praying to be changed and formed. We are praying to be sanctified. We are praying for God to do what he has determined to do. And sometimes this means that we are praying for suffering. We are praying for sickness. We are praying for difficult times, because through those difficult times, the Lord will sanctify you and purify you and work them for the good of you and all who love him. This is a prayer for God to conform the world to his law, to restrain evil, to call the elect to himself, to sanctify believers, and to execute perfect justice. And this is a prayer for sinners who have looked into the revealed will of God and have found themselves to be condemned. For it is only because of God's good pleasure that before the foundation of the world, he chose a people for himself who would be recipients of his mercy and grace. Although they had broken his law, as revealed clearly to them, he would pardon their sin on the basis of Christ's perfect obedience to the very same law. By the preceptive will of God, we stand condemned, for we have broken it in every part. But by the decretive will of God, we have received mercy and are justified because of what Christ has done for us. Praise the Lord for his marvelous grace and his glorious plan of salvation. So let us trust the Lord with the secret things that belong to him and obey him in the revealed things that he has given to us and to our children. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. O God, you have revealed to us all that we need for life and godliness, and yet we are disobedient children. Father, help us to be conformed to your will. Work sanctification in us by the power of your Spirit each day. Give us a hunger and a desire for your word that we might better know and understand what you desire from us. Help us to trust you when we don't understand what you are doing, and comfort us in our afflictions. O God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Recognizing with gratitude that God's ways are higher than our own, please rise now as we sing, Holy God, we praise your name.
Lord of all, we bow before you, all on earth your scepter claim.
Beloved of God, receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.